Chapter number 3 tonight, find that in your Bibles. It's good to see folks in church, amen? We missed everybody, and it's been a tough couple weeks here with all that's going on, and we didn't like having to close on Sunday, and even last Wednesday, but with so many people sick, and we just didn't want to, somebody had it, didn't know they had it, and continue the spreading. Now, of course, it doesn't mean they got it in church. We all live our lives. I mean, Walmart could give it to you, ShopRite could give it to you, walking down Kearney Avenue could give it to you. It's an airborne virus. I know folks who haven't left their house. Groceries are being delivered, and the kids are homeschooled, and they got it. So, it's just a terrible thing, and we can take some precautions and do some things to help, but it is a virus, and that's just the way it is. But pray for those who are very sick. Some folks have gotten over it very quickly. Yes, sir?
I forgot to mention tonight, pray for Sister Liz and Dale's mom as they lost their cousin. And then pray for the Brand family as they lost their cousin as well.
Yeah, pray for Miss Yesenia and her family. They have a family member who died, and he did have COVID. He had a lot of other health issues going on with his life as well, but COVID was the thing that did him in. So they would appreciate your prayers at this hour. That would be a great encouragement to know they're praying. And also for the Brand family as their cousin died. We were able to preach the funeral a few weeks ago. That's why I was not here on a Wednesday night, the night of the storm. I was at the funeral home, and I planned on coming to church, but when I left the funeral home and walked to my car a block away, I was soaked to the bone. So I just went home and dried out. So I'd had no idea that storm was coming, and it was coming that bad and ferocious as it was.
8 inches in 6 hours.
Somebody said it's like 6 feet of snow. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know.
Equivalent, that amount of rain we got, if that was snow, that would be like 6 feet, somebody said. I remember hearing. And that was an incredible, you said 6 inches in 8 hours.
8 inches.
I feel like the March of the Wooden Soldiers. I thought you wanted 100 soldiers at 6 foot high. So that's 8 inches of rain in six hours. And so that's incredible. So again, with that thought in mind, with that damage we saw, imagine 40 days and 40 nights with that amount of rain. What would go on around here? Wouldn't take much, really. Wouldn't take much to get our attention. Well, we're in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Let's pray. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now. We're thankful we can be here. Bless the word, bless the folks who are here, bless those who are watching through the internet. Thankful, Lord, we can have the live stream that those who are ill and even away and can partake in this service. May the words that are said tonight be an encouragement and a blessing and guide us as we go through our day. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter, as we're trying to finish up this book, Peter is writing, and he's encouraging the believers, and he's warning them about false teachers and false prophets. This book is very needful in our day and time as we deal with so many false ideologies, especially with the advent of the internet, which gives access to everybody to espouse their opinion and their idea. And almost everybody, exactly. But all you need is your iPhone or your Galaxy, and you can put it on the internet and get a following. But it doesn't make them right. Remember, just because you heard it on the internet doesn't make it right as well. As Peter is writing, he's given all the instructions, all the warnings about what to look for, what these people are like, what to pay attention. And if we get deceived by a false prophet, we don't blame it on the false prophet. Blame yourself because you have not devoured and fed on the Word of God to know what's right and what's wrong. The Bible will help you. The Bible is your guide. It's your teacher to instruct you in what's right and wrong and to know what to look out for. Now, as he goes on in this portion of Scripture, in chapter number 3, he has told them here about the teachers who deny the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got a lot of crazy theology out there on the internet and around the world today. But he says in verse number 3, and we've already been through this, he says that knowing this first, There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. There's three things you need to be careful of. One, those who scoff and mock the word of God. Be careful of those who mock. Anybody who mocks the word of God is somebody that you need to be careful of. Jim Jones, the famous cult leader who took his group from, I forget where they were originally, I think maybe Chicago area, and then they moved to Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles they moved down to Guyana. And again, he's a man who eventually ended up denying the word of God and just listened to him, what he has to say, and he claiming himself to be the Messiah. So they're scoffers, and he says they're walking after their own lust. That's a second thing you need to be careful of. A person who is in the business for the money and getting rich or whatever thing they need, they are heaping it upon themselves. And he says in verse number 4, and saying, this is what they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There's this idea that, you know, nothing's changed. It's just life continues as it is. It's always been the same way. People are born, they live, they die. And a generation rises, generation goes, and life just continues. So there's really no evidence of Jesus Christ is going to show up. It's just, it's not going to happen. That's not what the Bible teaches or whatever else they may say. But he says in verse number 5, where we pick it up tonight, and for this they are willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Bible warns us and gives us several things that we need to remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And the first thing we saw this, we looked at this the last time I was here, was the idea of Scripture. Scripture is your guide into teaching you about the second coming of Christ. The last time I was here, we told you that most every New Testament book talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a Bible truth. It's the last thing that the angel said as our Lord ascended back to heaven. Why ye stand ye, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus will so come again in like manner. He's coming back. And we see his return all throughout our Bible. We know the Lord is coming. So we have the promise of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture. But it gives us a second thing. How many of you have ever heard that old expression which says, you know, those who fail to learn from history are what? Doomed to repeat it. And my friend, we are seeing that. We see it in our day and time. People are doomed to repeat it. It just, history constantly just goes over it, and nobody pays attention because we don't learn history or we don't believe it's going to happen to us. How many of you know, well, that's not going to happen to me? What makes you so special? Do you think that what happened to one man is not going to happen to you? And so, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. You do stupid things, bad things will happen. There's the consequences. There is reaping and sowing. But we have history as our teacher. And we have in verses 5 through 7 the idea or the story of the Old Testament flood. And the New Testament writers often appeal to the Old Testament to make a point. Jesus, our Savior, did this on several occasions, referring back to the Old Testament. I had somebody years ago, why do you always preach out of the Old Testament? Why don't you ever preach out of the New Testament? I'm like, well, first of all, I preach out of both Testaments. I don't cater to one. And second, I preach wherever the Holy Spirit tells me to preach. And no matter where I preach, I always bring Jesus Christ into it because you find Christ in the Old Testament. And if we are ignorant of the Old Testament, then how can we really appreciate and understand the New Testament? If you don't have a working knowledge of the Old Testament, you will never understand Romans, and you definitely will never understand the book of Hebrews. That will be a foreign book to you if you don't understand your Old Testament. And so we have to study the Scriptures. And so the Old Testament is there, and our New Testament writers referred constantly back to the Old to back up and verify. In essence, what they're not only verifying Scripture, but they're using history as a teacher. Don't you remember what happened then? Don't you remember what happened to these people? And if it happened to those people, don't you think it will happen to us? I know we all like to think that we're the United States of America and God waves the American flag over the gates of heaven and it's all, you know, and that's how it is. But, you know, we think Davy Crockett's guarding the gates of heaven. And listen, that's ridiculous. Amen? We all know it's John Wayne. But, you know, it's understand we don't, God's not waving the American flag. God is God. And God raises nations up and God takes nations down. And any nation that forgets God, we have a promise in the Old Testament that what happens? That nation gets turned into hell. God destroys it. And history is filled with nations who are thrown on the scrap heap, done away with. As long as a nation, and what exalts a nation, according to the Old Testament? Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. So when false teachers maintain this idea that, you know, well, all things continue as they were, and basically, there's a big word you learn in college or in theological circles. It's called uniformitarianism. Uniformitarianism. And basically, everything is uniform. It just stays the same. And when you are a freshman in college, in Bible college, they sit around their dorm rooms and they discuss these big things and pretend they know more than their pastor and the professor who's teaching them. And then eventually they wise up and realize they don't know as much as they thought they did. And so it's amazing how you are when you're younger. It's like the preacher one time when he was a young man, he couldn't figure out why people didn't come to hear him preach. And when you get to be an old man, you can't figure out why people come to hear you preach. It's like, what's this all about? So yes, it's humility. God teaches you that as you go along the road. He has it all. And if you don't learn it, he has a way of really making sure you learn it. That's why I don't get too upset when some people, it's like, they got to listen. God knows how to take care of them. God's in control. And if they belong to God, God will get them where they need to be. We all have to learn these lessons. And sometimes we think we're there. And God says, no, you haven't even started yet. It's like, I haven't. No. What's going to happen? So that these people who believe this idea in uniformitarianism, again, they ignore historical facts. And again, facts are facts. You don't have your facts, and I don't have my facts. Their facts are facts. You know, when you're a lawyer, you know, there's that old TV show, Dragnet. And the detective would walk up to the lady, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. You know, I don't want to hear about your cat and just the facts. Just tell me what happened. And my friend, that's all history is. Learn about the facts of history. Now, because they love their sins and wanting to live as they please, as we see these men walk after their own lust, they made a conscious decision not to consider the final consequences. And listen, I think, you know, COVID is a bad thing. I'm not excited about it. I hate it. I want it to go away just as much as anybody. But it ought to be waking people up to the fact that eternity is looming on the horizon. And why are people afraid of COVID? Why are they wearing masks? Why are they getting shots? Why are they hiding in their houses? Because they don't want to die. Because all of us have it in the truth that lies within us. We are going to die. And people are afraid of dying. And why are they afraid of dying? One, either the unknown, or two, judgment. You say, you're afraid of dying, preacher? I'm afraid of dying because I think I might not have done enough for my Savior, and I don't want to be ashamed when I see him. I want to do more, so I won't be ashamed when I see my Savior. But I'm not afraid of dying. God has carried me along through my life, so when death does finally come, and it will come one day, hopefully 30 years from now, whatever God's good timing, hoping Jesus comes, it's September, Lou, amen. And so whenever the Lord comes, I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. So again, the first is creation by the word of God. The Lord instantly brought the world into being. He says in verse number 5, for this they are willingly. Notice they says willingly. Men choose to ignore creation. Men are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, they're ignorant that God spoke all things into existence. I was talking with an evolutionist one time, and I said, you don't believe in God at all? No, I don't. There's no God. No designer. That watch you wear on your wrist, there was a designer. Somebody made that. Yes. That complex piece of Apple watch designed by somebody. Yes. but your body and everything else on planet Earth and the whole entire galaxy just happened. Yes, that is willfully ignorant to say there's no designer. What's that?
The fool has said in his heart.
The fool. And that's what it is. They don't believe, but they're willfully ignorant. They choose not to believe. I don't want to see that. Why? Because maybe if this Christian is right, then they know that God will judge. And that terrifies men. That's why when you're a Christian, you don't fear judgment, because you know your sins were paid for, your sins were judged on Calvary's cross, and you stand in righteousness and don't fear judgment. That's why you need to be in Christ. So they are ignorant, willfully ignorant. Yes, sir. Well, creation is amazing. I mean, I watched my garden in my backyard, even the cucumbers, watching the vines grow and reach out and grab and wrap around so this thing can grow. It's like, how does it do that? How does that seed have it in it that when it grows, it's going to grow up and grow a little vine out, wrap on and grab on so the rest of the vine can grow? Who put it in that seed to do that? That's God. And to think that somehow that just millions of years of evolution just somehow figured it out, the process along. It's a form of insanity to believe in evolution. You deny so much and base everything on we think, we hope, maybe, possibly, it could be, there's a great chance. And yet you mock the Word of God who has stood the test of time. So as we believe, and again, as Christians, we believe in a young earth. We are not of those who believe in a million years. I was with somebody last spring, and they said, let me ask you, are you one of those young earth people? She said, I just learned about this. There's people actually believe like the earth is 6,000 years old. Do you believe that? I said, yes. Why? I said, well, that's what the Bible teaches. We're not here for millions of years. And again, there's scientific evidence that proves it's impossible for us to be here for millions of years. Just the amount of people on earth. The math. Remember math? That's something that's racist and you can't teach it anymore. But math proves if you go backwards, it all goes back to 6,000 years. It's amazing, give or take, it all works out that way. Given a millions of years, who knows what the numbers would be. But again, several thousand years would certainly have been sufficient for Peter to use this phrase here when he's talking about how the earth and its creation. Again, God created the heavens and the earth, and God divinely formed out of the water and by the water. God shaped the earth between the two areas of watery mass. We have our planet up there, and I am of the opinion the continents did not move. That's where they were. I know it looks like if you take Africa, it can slide into South America or Central America there, and it all looks like that's land masses. You know, they're in place. I saw a diagram of an evolutionist one time on planet Earth, on TV, and I was watching the diagram, watching how they did this computer image, and you see where Florida is, how Florida just kind of like dangles down there, and it's amazing, as Africa was moving away from North America, Florida came like swinging down on a hinge, and I'm like, what? I've been in that corner, I haven't seen a hinge, I don't know how Florida exactly came swinging down like that. But again, we believe this is the water that's from Noah's flood is still here. That's the flood. Water is still here amongst us, even on our own continent. The lakes and rivers and streams and swamps and bodies of water throughout this one continent is an amazing thing. God did all this. Adam and Eve lived on a pre-flood world, and I believe they lived under a vapor canopy that God had created. And they were shielded from the sun's harmful rays. That's why men lived so long, because of this canopy. And when the flood came, God used that canopy and helped flood the earth as well. And now men don't have that canopy.
I have a question. Is that the firmament?
That would be the firmament, because there's a firmament above the earth and below. So that firmament is no longer there. And so here we are now. And so there was that canopy which kept the Earth tropical. They've done exploration down there in Antarctica. And in digging in Antarctica, they have discovered that at one point in time in history, it was tropical. They have pulled back vegetation and leaves and they're buried there under the ice. And it says, you know, it's amazing, but this is tropical plants. How did these things get here? Well, according to the Bible, if you believe the Bible, under the canopy, the Earth was a tropical planet at one time. Wouldn't you like the whole world to look like Hawaii? I can go for that. Amen. I'm in for that deal. And when the Lord comes back, he just may do that again. So if you haven't made it to Hawaii yet, don't worry. When Jesus comes, I think it's all going to look pretty good. It's going to take a little extra work to fix New Jersey up, but I think the Lord can do it. Amen. And so if we get a palm tree here in Hudson County, I'm for it. Now, we got some up there in Bergen County, but you have to go to Lee's Hawaiian Islander to get it with the depressed waiters up there. Now, those boys look like they can use a dose of Prozac. Now, but it's still a good restaurant. Don't go get me wrong. It's still a good restaurant. Now, Peter's reference here again is Peter's talking about the world. He says in verse number 6, whereby the world that was, I'm sorry, let me read it again. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Again, Peter preached about a worldwide flood. Our Savior talked about a worldwide flood. The evidence is here. Pastor D'Angelo was here tonight. He was out there in the Grand Canyon, and the Colorado River flows through the Grand Canyon. It's my goal one day to get to the Grand Canyon. And they tell you that little bitty water carved out that entire Grand Canyon over the space of millions of years. Well, I got an idea. How about a lot of water over a little bit of time carved out the Grand Canyon, which is what happened with the flood. And because of the earth there, that's how it got there. And so much evidence, and I'm not going to go into that tonight. I'm just showing you from the Word of God what the Bible has to say. Now, so the world was flooded. The world was underwater, and he's using history. Don't you remember history? Of course, people say, well, that didn't happen because we weren't there. It's amazing with history that if people didn't live it, they didn't think it happened. Dwight Eisenhower, when they marched into Poland and Germany and saw all the concentration camps, he told them, he says, you need to film all of this. Film these things. Film these camps. Film the bodies. Film the ovens. Film all of this. Because the day will come when people will not believe that this happened. And here we have all this footage. I met an old man at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., an old man and old woman who were Holocaust survivors. They were children. I saw the tattoos on their arm. I talked with them and conversed with them. It was a very moving experience. And people have all this evidence, and they say, oh, no, the Holocaust didn't happen. It's a lie of the Jews. Didn't happen. No, you know, if it did happen, they only killed a couple thousand. They didn't kill 6 million people. It didn't happen. You're an idiot. I hate to use that language from the pulpit, but there's no other way to describe the intelligence of your brain except to say you've been deceived. You just choose not to see the images that are there in front of you. You need to go over to Europe. You need to see the camps that are left. And those camps need to stay there as a reminder of man's inhumanity to man. Never ceases to amaze me how men devise ways to kill another man. It's insane. So the language of Genesis chapter number 7, where the flood is described in detail, can only be explained if we believe in a worldwide flood, a historical ideology, the idea, again, of judgment that's coming. And in Genesis chapter number 9, God promised that he would never again destroy the earth by the means of a universal flood. But that does not mean that he will never enact global judgment. You can look at that rainbow in the sky after the storms, and I always do. I always get excited about it to see a rainbow in the sky. At 57, I still say, there's a rainbow. That looks good. Amen. Praise God. And I always get excited when I see the rainbow lands in Hudson County. So Hudson County's at the end of the rainbow. That's a thrill. Amen. And so there we have the rainbow. Promise that God will never flood the entire world again. But it doesn't mean God's not going to judge the world. God will judge the world. He's just not going to do it with water. He never said anything about fire. And God will use fire to destroy this world that so many people are in love with. Men love the creation more than the creator. Again, you watch on YouTube, there's a bunch of hippies sitting in the woods crying and screaming and apologizing to trees. We're sorry. What is this? It's okay. No, it's a tree. But they're crying in the woods, apologizing. Just Google it. Hippies crying to trees, and you'll see them out there screaming. And it's okay. Keep yelling. They understand. No, it's a tree. I wish I was out there. Amen. Cut one down right in front of them and see what happens. Amen. But anyway, I digress. As they go home to their... I was in Boston a few years ago, and they had this Save Mother Earth rally going on. Yeah, and I thought it amazing as they were holding up their signs, their paper signs on sticks about, you know, save the planet, save the trees. Like, hello, what do you think you're holding in your hand? Some tree's ancestor you just cut down and paper milled. And then they all went down to Chipotle and sat in an air-conditioned restaurant, which is destroying the planet, as it spewed out fumes from its ovens as they all ate a burrito bowl. But there's something wrong with me. You know, and I'm the one who doesn't get it. Willfully ignorant. You know, if that was my kid up there, it's like, really? All right, I'm taking the car away. You can just walk. And if I was the dean, I'd turn off the air conditioners in the dorms. Open the windows. You want heat? I don't know how we're going to do it because we normally would, since we're against propane and gas and oil and we can't burn trees anymore, you're on your own. How are you going to survive the winter? Move to Florida.
Yeah.
Now, I'm getting off track here tonight, but I'm sorry. Just the insanity pushes me over the edge sometimes. Again, while the pre-flood world system was drowned by water, the present world system will be consumed by fire. We see this all throughout our Bible. And the Bible warning, look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. You ever get a chance to go to Boston? It's a beautiful city. A lot of history up there, and I was there for the history of it. And we were walking through the city taking a historical tour as that rally was going on. And so it is a nice city. I did enjoy Boston. In Hebrews chapter number 9, he says in verse number 27, it is appointed unto men, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to bring full salvation with him, full salvation in the sense that we will finally have full redemption with our bodies redeemed. But there he says, it's appointed unto men once to die. And then what? Judgment. Judgment. Why don't we want God? Because there's the idea of judgment with God. Why don't we want the Ten Commandments hanging in our courthouses? Because the last thing we want a thief to see is thou shalt not steal. Or the couple getting divorced saying thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are bad things for guilty people to see, I guess. But the Bible tells us, and the Bible warns us about judgment. Don't do these things. Why? Because I'm God. I don't want you doing these things. Judgment will follow. The prophet Isaiah wrote and he warned. Look at Isaiah chapter number 66. Isaiah chapter number 66. What? 66. You're welcome, my friend. In Isaiah chapter number 66, great book of the Bible, he says in verse number 15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." My friend, it seems like God is going to do some things when Jesus Christ returns at his second coming. It's going to be a lot of judgment. the world will face judgment. The New Testament talks about this judgment. 2 Thessalonians talks about how the Lord will come and basically quotes the verses we read here in Isaiah, how God will come and bring judgment. And just as the abundant presence of water was there to destroy the world, God had enough water to destroy the world, God will have enough fire to make an incredible inferno. You know, when we witnessed 9/11 on that day, there's an image of New York from a NASA satellite, and you can look at that image, it's online, and as you look at this area of New Jersey and New York, you can see the cloud of smoke coming up out of lower Manhattan and drifting southward as it went out over the Atlantic. It's amazing photograph. It's like, man, that fire, you can see it from outer space. Oh, my friend, someday God's going to destroy this planet, and this whole planet's going to be one big ball of flame and smoke from outer space as God destroys it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
It could be for another meeting, but I've always been confused when that event will occur, when the elements are burned with fire, the heavens and earth will be burned up. Is that after the tribulation period or after the millennial?
That's after the millennial reign of Christ. Near the end of all things will be burnt up and consumed, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. But in his judgment, as he returns, he will, the Bible talk about his sword that proceeds out of his mouth, he will exact vengeance upon the armies of the Antichrist and the people of this world. Those who did not get the mark of the beast, he'll take vengeance out upon those who were slaughtered because they would not receive the mark of the beast and worship the Antichrist, and those people will be destroyed at that point in time. But then there's the 1,000-year reign, and then there is the destroying of all, and a new heavens and new earth are created. So we're looking forward to a new heaven and new earth. So the second thing I want us to say, the first, which we talked about a few weeks ago, is the evidence of our Lord returning is there's Scripture. The second thing we see is history is our teacher. We have history. And in this case, it's not our history because you didn't see it. It's the history of long ago, but it still happened nonetheless. You know, as we close tonight, 9/11, some of you were not here on 9/11. You weren't born yet. Ethan's here. He was born in 99. He was 2 years old. He really doesn't remember that. And so some people don't understand the gravity of what took place, and they are changing words, and they're eliminating things that are offensive. And one high school team was going to wear a patriotic celebration, but they said, no, don't wear the red, white, and blue. That might offend some people. Listen, you get offended by the red, white, and blue. Maybe this isn't the country for you. Maybe you should go to another country where you don't have to see this flag. I'm just kind of strange about that. But, you know, when I was in Sierra Leone, I didn't say, you know what, you need to take down your flag. I find it offensive. No, I'm in their country. I'm in their country. But the problem is, these people aren't guests. These are the idiots that are born here that believe this nonsense. You know, just go north to Canada. Of course, you can't get in there because they won't let you in. They got strict border policies. Go somewhere else. But again, I digress. But they fail to remember the history of it all. Again, there's a lot that happened on 9/11. But at the end of the day, there were people that were Muslim extremists that did that. They were from Saudi Arabia. And so therefore, we attacked Afghanistan. Don't ask me how it works. But again, there's a lot to it, a lot going on, a lot of corruption behind the scenes. But people don't remember that, and they forget about it. People forget. If you remember Pearl Harbor, remember what? Pearl Harbor. Who's that? We forget. Remember the Great Depression. What? History is a lesson. It's a teacher. And when it comes to judgment and our Lord returning, Scripture has the evidence. It's a teacher to help us. Let's pray. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of history, to learn from it, especially as we see it here in the Bible. Bless this time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take an